Hi, listeners. It's Sean, the one behind the screen. Just wanted to introduce this new type of podcast release that we're doing. We are going to be calling this Tavern Talk. And in it, we will be discussing, you know, various parts of the hobby and old school and new school gaming and whatever we might happen to be interested in. We'll probably get into computer games and IT stuff because we're, you know, we're that people. So hang in, and a new episode of our actual play will be releasing real soon, probably at about the same time this is. So that'll be episode 4. And look for that, certainly. And, you know, we really do appreciate anybody who has taken the time to listen to us. Certainly, we have a Facebook and Instagram page, not very active at this point, but we'll be ramping that up here shortly. And we will have other ways of being involved with the program shortly. And we'll certainly let you know all about that at the usual places. So, first episode of Tavern Talk. I was, you know, debating back and forth as to whether, you know, I would do like the tavern keeper's voice. Well, I'll be getting for you. But I'm not going to do that, even though I just did it. You know, I don't know if we're going to be playing any tavern ambience, you know, background noise or anything of that nature. I think that's a little cheesy, but, you know, sit back. And this episode, we'll be talking about the second edition Monstrous Compendium and Thaco and a couple other things. So see you on the other side. So why don't you have your AD&D second edition books, Sean?
Because I left them at that group.
All right, stop it. Seriously.
Because my old gaming group still has all that shit.
And when was the last time you played with them?
Beginning of the century.
Damn.
Wow.
Like,
so you haven't seen your AD&D books in 20 years.
No, that's not true. I haven't seen my third edition and second and third edition books in 20 years.
That's when they were out.
You could still buy them brand new.
No, second edition came out in the, late 80s.
Right, yeah. But third edition was like 2000, 2001.
No, it was before that.
No, it was 2000 or 2001.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I don't know where the fuck they are. Although I did play with that group after I came back from Phoenix, so that would have been like 02, 03.
That's still 20 years ago.
Yeah. But, shut I up. Mean...
shut up.
That was probably right when I first met you.
I bought the stuff for second edition when it came out in the late 80s, like immediately as soon as it arrived at B. Dalton Booksellers in Altoona, PA. I had them. And I loved it, but the Monster Manual, when I got the final hardback copy, I took it and urinated in it in the backyard and then threw it out because it was the worst experience of my life.
Are you talking about the Monster Manual or the Monstrous Compendium?
The Monstrous Compendium, the three-ring binder of hell and missing pages.
So... I have a confession. Just nerd cred. This is, I can't even say it. I took that thing and I sat down. Do you remember back in the day you had the whole reinforcement stickers?
Yep.
You would put on ring binder shit.
I remember them and I remember how well they did not do a thing.
Did nothing.
Yeah.
I sat down with the Monstrous Compendium and put one on each side of each hole of every page of that fucking thing. What I did not account for
back and forth
was the thickness it would increase in the fucking pages. So when I got done, it no longer fit in the binder.
Oh, no.
So I then went out and bought plain 2-inch binders and divided it up into 3 separate tomes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So, well, how many expansions? Because they used to sell packs
of pack
expansions. I don't. Well, this was like the day it came out. This was, I bought it when it was released. And
then you're supposed to go through alphabetical order and put.
Fuck that noise.
Put the monster in the alphabetical order.
Yes.
In the monster's compendium.
I think I did that for the first expansion that came out. And I believe before the second expansion was released, that thing was in a trash can.
I mean, you got to give them props for thinking of the idea.
An okay idea, but
I'm not sure so what the logic was so that you could add to your compendium infinitely expandable, over time.
Instead
of just buying a book, you can add to your
current
book.
They could release in the new expansion. They could re-release a certain page with corrections.
Mm.
You know, it was the first attempt at a living document.
Doesn't sound like a terrible idea.
It was a great idea. I loved the concept, but the reality was
it was a pain.
I am not that anal retentive.
I would like a minute for rebuttal.
You have the floor, sir.
It was more of just a rhetorical statement, but more than anything else, but I'm sure that by the time this podcast winds down in 175 episodes, that we will be, you know, we'll probably never speak again. But
well, probably be dead by then.
Our children will take it on.
So if you are listening out there, we're just
Dicitis.
Talking about the Monsters Compendium, which we will get back to in a minute.
Doc has Dicitis.
Because it, in my view, it's the worst money I've ever spent in role-playing.
Oh, I've
spent... And I have spent some bad money in role-playing.
I don't know.
But I just wanted to certainly thank everybody for listening, who has listened. All 47 of you, I think.
Thank you for letting us help you clean your toilet.
15 of them are family members, so that's good, right?
Well, new episode's got like 7 or 10 views already. That's something.
Yeah, we're 4 of them. You,
I haven't listened to it yet.
Right, you shouldn't.
It's the easiest way to keep track of what actually happened.
Yeah, don't listen to it.
Well, everyone's new. That's the greatest thing with this. You know, you don't forget what happened last time.
Right, you really don't.
You can just play it.
Sean's raising his hand. I forget.
I forgot what happened last time.
What did we do?
What's my character's name again?
I think I'm a human.
Coleman. Just remember that. Coleman.
See, every time anyone says that name, I think of a digestive tract health product. I don't know why. Maybe it's the colo in the beginning.
Well, it's spelled with a K.
I understand. But that's how my head works.
But anyway, the Monsters Compendium was awful. Rest of Second Edition was pretty good, though.
Yeah, right? We played the hell out of it.
Yeah.
They took the demons out and the devils.
Yes.
And they stopped calling the thief a thief.
Became a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
And they got rid of the illusionist, too, which was a good move.
Yeah, it was redundant.
Yeah. Didn't really need it.
They got rid of the illusionist in second edition? You couldn't play a gnome illusionist?
Well, they had some classes.
They made the wizard.
Oh, it wasn't its own class anymore.
Right.
Yes. I got you.
You could be a mage that took the illusion school.
Right.
Just, yeah.
I never played first edition. I know you don't look at me like that.
We need to fix that.
Oh, and I went back to my first edition Player's Handbook and Dungeon Master's Guide, because when we did our introduction, I said, well, nobody uses those speed factors and weapon bonus for armor class rules. And you said, oh, yes, we did that. Our group was rules lawyers. And I went back and looked at it. And I can't imagine anybody using that shit.
Oh, be like swords aren't good versus chainmail, like, but they're really good.
Our games are non-fast. No.
It's worse than that.
Initiative modifier.
Your sword has a different plus or minus
speed. Yeah, your speed
based
modifier.
On AC5 versus AC4.
Right.
Oh no, I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's a whole column of, and then your speed factor means that. So if your two-handed sword has a speed factor of 12. And you're being attacked by a guy with a dagger whose speed factor is 4, that the dagger should get 3 attacks before your next attack with your two-handed sword, according to the rule book, except that that doesn't jive with the whole round structure where you get 1 attack per. So how do you figure that shit out? Which is why we all played basic D&D and we just had the AD&D books out to go, hey, I like this class. But you guys used all that shit?
Yeah.
We used a little bit of
I don't remember modifier. How it works, honestly.
It was mostly speed factor was your bonus to initiative.
Or penalty, really.
Or penalty, depending really, on the two-hander.
Yeah. Right, and the guy with the two-handed sword is always going to go be last.
Slower, yeah.
Yep.
But it does say in the book that the lower speed factor should be able to get more attacks in on the higher speed factor between swings of the two-handed sword, which doesn't jive with the rest of the thing.
I never played.
I think Gygax was high when he was on that.
I mean, I get what the rule is trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
And I like the idea of the rule, but I agree that the implementation was, if I remember correctly, that particular thing superseded the round structure.
Yeah, I think it was an optional.
It was not required. It was you can use this if you want to use this, but here's the base round structure. And I don't think, come to think of it, I think we eventually just ditched that and went with the base round structure as it is.
And I'm trying to remember if first edition did the basic D&D thing of declaring spells before the round, and then they go off at the end of the round.
Or potentially rounds in the future. Yep. Yeah, they did.
So there was that, and there was like a whole bunch of stuff, like the ranger is only surprised on 1 out of a D12, but then you'll have a monster that surprises on 1-3 on a D10. Like, how do I figure this out?
There was absolutely problems with the dice interoperability there.
And I say all this realizing that we've advertised a podcast for retro and old school.
Busting on it?
Which we are. And then I'm going through and trashing all sorts of stuff that they probably find like religious.
I don't think you're going to find people that are like that. I think you're going to find people that use their choice of rules from that. But I don't think you're going to find anybody that is, you know, a crusader.
Right. Well, and my point in the whole conversation was that's what we did back then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot of DM fiat going on with rule sets and incorporating stuff from prior editions.
Well, also, I have to remind everyone, because I forgot, I found my first edition books not too long ago and was digging through them. You know, when I put the shelves up and I realized that I used to know those books religiously, like
inside you and out.
Say, hey, what's this? And I could flip to that page in one or two strokes and I was there.
Yeah.
And
well, they weren't enormous 500 page gargantuan rule books.
No, but sitting down with them 30 years later.
Yeah.
And trying to find stuff. It was awful. I sat down with the goal one day of making a character.
With first edition.
Right. And, you know, today we are so used to books that are laid out in a linear cycle.
Right. Logical fashion.
Right. For character creation that I gave up. You know, I got in there, I rolled my stats. I'm like, okay, where's this? And where's that? And then you're shuffling through and no. I was just like, fuck it.
And they didn't have D&D Beyond back then either.
Well, I then stumbled across a product that I'm intrigued by called Osric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Osric. It's the... Yeah,
the index. Reliable. Well, it's basically just a giant index of those books.
Yeah, so the whole thing was that I think the people who did Osric didn't intend for anybody to play Osric. They wanted to release a set of rules which were first edition with all of the Wizards of the Coast claimed copyright taken out of it. So it was all restated, but it was all first edition rules. And the point of it wasn't that you would use this book and play, because they figured you would just use your old first edition books and play. But that publishers could make things. They could make adventures and source books and new rules and stuff based on first edition D&D without having to say first edition D&D and then getting sued. So it was like the first like experimentation in the old school thing where, well, we're just going to see if we can, because the legal idea is that math is not copyrightable. And games are math. So if you take out every single bit of intellectual content, which is the writing and the presentation and the art.
Monster name, spell name.
Then you can't copyright claim against you're using their math. Because math is math. But anyway, Osric. I think Osric was like the first like attempt at old schooling D&D again during the third edition days, along with Castles and Crusades that I've tried to give you guys copies of and you're not having.
I mean, you can leave them here. I need monitor stands, so.
They're brand new. They look brand new.
Actually, if you look at my gaming PC, you'll see that the monitor stand is old, all old gaming books. Fifth edition, probably
from when we played Castles and Crusades before.
There, I think there is a Castles and Crusades book in there. There's a fifth edition Lord of the Rings book in there.
Okay.
I think there's an old Warhammer fantasy rule book in there. Some weird games like Malifaux books.
You know what? I would even accept denigrating Castles and Crusades to that duty, but if you have a Warhammer first edition rulebook holding up your monitor, I think you and
you're going to have trouble
with me and Rodney.
Not the role-playing
game. Oh, okay.
The fantasy miniatures
battle. Oh, nobody plays that anymore.
No, because they discontinued it.
Right, I'm like,
it was the best game they made.
Well, didn't they say they were going to bring that back?
Yeah, they keep saying it.
Right.
But their stock's in the toilet right now. I don't know what they're going to do.
You're going to raise the price on Terminators.
They keep raising the prices. That's why their stock's in the toilet.
I'm just telling you what their solution's been for the last 20 years.
No, their new solution is subscriptions.
What,
and seasons.
Send me minis every 6 months?
No, like the current season is every battle is supposed to take place in a Space Hulk for 40K. So if you want to buy the scenery, it's like hundreds and hundreds of dollars to fill a 40K size table with the Space Hulk scenery. And it will cycle out in 6 months.
You still have the scenery.
To a new season.
Wow.
But officially, you'll be on to something else. So that's their idea, is to create this revenue stream.
Right.
By cycling everything every 6 months. And yeah, it's terrible.
It's like a subscription service.
Mm-hmm. And they have those for it, where they'll just send you the stuff.
All right, well, back to old school. Why don't we just hash out Thaco, and then we'll move on to the gameplay for this time.
Sure.
What do we need to say about Thaco?
Just to say, hash out Thaco. Goodness gracious. How much time did you set aside for this topic?
That's all of a spreadsheet these days. Wow, that was really loud, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, everything is really loud at the new table.
That's a great idea. Not...
Put my water
over here.
The premise of Thaco was great until you got into the ridiculous amount of modifiers.
See, I like that. I like the weapons have a different performance against different types of armor thing.
We never did that.
We did that for sure.
Well, I'm just flabbergasted by the amount of like online rage that like anybody that's got into playing D&D since 2000. Because, you know, they don't realize that Thaco was an improvement.
Thaco was revolutionary.
Yes.
Because Thaco wasn't in the original first edition books. You had an attack matrix where you had a number to hit for every armor class. Mm-hmm.
Which I liked.
Which was essentially personally. Thaco, but it was for each class.
Right.
It just customized how the weapons would perform against different types of armor.
But you could look up how you would do against AC4, and there were actually some, if you really look at it, it wasn't always 1, 2, 3, 4 for every class. There was a couple of classes where they had the same to hit numbers for a couple of ACs.
Blah,
blah, blah.
Marshals were better at it than the wizards or clerics.
But then Thaco came along and it was like, oh, okay, well, then I don't have to look up those tables anymore. We can just
do one table.
And it was great. Until third edition makes the AC the number you need to hit, which is amazing. And I don't know why it took the D&D playing world like 30 years to go, oh, well, that seems like an obvious thing.
That seems simpler. Why don't I take a number and add a number to it and get to a number, and that we're there already.
But here's the thing where I always get to is like, the attack tables were awful. Well, they weren't awful. They were usable, but they weren't great. Thaco was easy, and it's basically the same math that the ascending armor class is using.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard. And to see people go, oh, I can't wrap my... Yes, you can. It's the same number that you need to roll to hit with the ascending armor class.
So I believe what I just heard Sean say was, the kids these days, get off my lawn.
Get off my game table.
That's what I just heard.
So if you like Thaco, use Thaco. If you like AC, the ascending AC like I do, use that. But it's the same math.
We're going to have a separate show. We're just going to call it The Soapbox.
The Rant. But anyway, I'm out. Anybody else have anything from old school?
No.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the other side for the continuation of our...
Rollmaster Rules.
To be continued.
I thought we were done with this.
To be continued.
Never done.
And then we'll see you on the regular podcast. Thanks.